Welcome to Generation Radio Podcast, where the focus is on Arkapuna and their families. We are here each Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on the Oldies Channel, 101.1. You can listen to these shows at any time, any place, and even on your smartphone at generations808.com. We will bring to you resourceful information from our generation's team of experts in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore ways to make your life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors. Here's your host and publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
Welcome to Generations Radio and good morning to you. This is Percy from the magazine Generations and all of the website, generations808.com. Hope you're having a great weekend. Hope you're spending time with family or good friends, going to church. And if you're golfing, stay in the short stuff. But anyway, we're here every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. on 101.1, the most popular radio channel now, FM, for seniors, 60s and 70s music. I love the channel. And if your wife tells you, honey, can we stop watching sports on a weekend? Go to Spectrum 883, and you can listen to 101.1 on your television show. So anyway, guys, as you guys know, we do a lot of resources. We do events around town. And we like to have real stories. We like to have real people as well. And I met this gentleman many years ago. I actually didn't meet his father, but I knew of him. He was a MidPac grad like myself. And if you guys all know from the 60s and 70s and 80s, maybe in the 90s, it was in a newspaper, Today's Thought, with Reverend Paul Osumi. And I'm sorry, he has passed on already. He would have been quite old. But his son, Norman, is kind of, I wouldn't say writing these Today's Thoughts, but carrying on the tradition of having the Today's Thoughts. So today we have Norman Osumi, the son of Reverend Paul Osumi, who's actually a MidPac grad, by the way. So welcome to the show, Norman.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your program today.
Yeah.
Percy, I really appreciate that.
Yeah. I appreciate what your father did, and I love what you're doing today, Norman, because as I was telling Georgia Engineer here, when I was in high school at MidPac and I dormed, I would cut out those Today's Thoughts and stick them on my desk. And then I found out later on, my art director, my classmate from MidPac, he dormed as well. He did the same thing in his dorm. So when we saw this and I saw you come out with this book here, I said, Wilson, his name is Wilson Angel. I said, Wilson, let me contact Norman, see if we can put these Today's Thoughts in the magazine. And to this day, we still do put Today's Thoughts. So thank you so much for continuing to perpetuate what your father has done. And I give you a lot of credit, Norman.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Give us a little background on yourself. Now, you're retired.
Yes.
And what did you retire from?
I worked for the banking industry for many years. I was born in Lihue in the Wilcox Hospital. So local Kauai product. And grew up in the plantations where my father was a minister, Red Wailua and Eva.
Uh-huh.
And also at Nuano Congregational Church. I went to University High School, the lab school. And then I went to the University of Hawaii, got my business degree in management. And then I worked for the banking industry for about 40 years.
Wow.
Covering various banks. I started off with First National Bank, which became First Hawaiian under mm-hmm. John Bellinger, and then mm-hmm. I worked for a service bureau at the Liberty Bank, and then I moved on to Bank of Hawaii for many years, about 22 years, and I retired. And then because I retired such at a young age.
How old were you when you retired?
About 54, because they gave a really good program.
Wow, 54?
Yes.
That's really young.
What Bank of Hawaii did was if you worked over 10 years and your age was over 50, you could take an early retirement package. And it was a good package.
Wow.
So I took that package. Of course, then I was only 54 and I knew a person that called me and asked me, hey, do you want to come to Central Pacific Bank and help me there?
Oh, really?
So I said, okay, fine. Because my wife says, go,
yeah,
God, 54. You're not going to stay home at 54. Yeah. You go back to work. So I said, okay. So I went back and I worked for Central Pacific for about another 7-8 years
there.
Good
for you. Yeah. Wow, it's a great career. I'm in mortgage banking for years. I worked actually First Hawaiian and Bank Hawaii back in the day. But I've been doing the reverse mortgage 21 years now. But yeah, it's great. So, I didn't know you moved to Oahu to go to University High?
No.
Well, you're just born on Kauai.
I was just born in Kauai.
Oh, okay.
That's the whole story, too. I don't know if we have the time to talk about that.
A quick short one.
Okay, quick short one. I was born there. Two months before World War II started, the bombing of Pearl Harbor on December 7th. Born a couple months. As soon as the war broke out, my father was picked up by the government.
A lot of church people were, I understood.
So that's something that really got my curiosity after I retired to find out what happened to my father. I needed to know. Since my father came from an older Japanese generation, a lot of the fathers never spoke to their children about their life. So I really didn't know too much about my father's background in his whole life. And after retiring, that's when I looked into his life and I found out he had a very interesting life. And so the war broke out. He was interned. He was sent to the mainland. And my mother and my oldest brother moved back to Honolulu, where her parents lived. And since then, when he went to the mainland and interned, he landed up at Gila Relocation Camp. And from there, he got very sick with valley fever. And a family that was helping my father, taking care of him at that time, wrote to my mother and said, "You better come here because your husband is very sick. You know, he may even die here." My father never wrote to my mother about his condition because he was in bed for quite some time there. But he never wanted to let her know his condition, didn't want her to worry. But this other family that took care of my father wrote to my mother and said, "You better." So as soon as she found out, she packed my older brother and I, and we ended up at Gila Relocation Camp where she was able to take care of my
father. In Hilo?
No, Gila Relocation Camp in Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, okay.
That's where they had the intern of all the Japanese families off of the West Coast.
Oh, okay.
He landed there. Yeah, so my mother went there to take care, and my brother and I, you know, we stayed there until the end of the war. And then he came back, and then he took over Wailua Pilgrim Church. So we were there from there. Then to Eva, we were there about 9 years. So grew up as a boy, a child, growing up, a young kid growing up.
In Eva?
In Eva Plantation. Oh, okay. And then from there, my father got his position with Nuano Congregational Church in the late 1958 or so. And so we moved to downtown. Ever since then, I've been living in town.
Oh, okay. Okay. And do you know the backstory of why your father went to Mid-Pacific Institute back in the day?
I don't really know. Well, my father came here from Japan when he was about 14 years old. His father was here, but his mother sent him here. He came from a large family of 8 children. His older brother was here already with a Japanese saimin shop in Ala Park side. And his father was as a cook at Shafter. And the mother sent him here. And the mother was taking care of 6 daughters. One of the daughters passed away when she was young. So she was taking care of 6. I think one of the sisters came here and was living in Hilo too. But his father then returned to Japan after 7 months he was here in Hawaii. I never knew why his father left him here with his older brother. You know, he turned around after 7 months and went back to Japan. And reading one of his sermons that I have in possession, he spoke about that. And the reason he went back, I found out his mother passed away.
Mm.
So his father went back to take care of the sisters, his sisters that were still remaining.
Sure.
So he stayed here with his brother for a short while. And from there, he went to the male school for boys, which is today Mid-Pacific.
Right.
The girls' side was called Kauai Hall Seminary.
Right, Kauai Hall.
Yeah. So he landed up Mid-Pac. And that became his home, really, because he had no family except his older brother. But
right.
I don't know how close. But he considered Mid-Pac his home because that's where he grew up from about middle school all the way through high school. And he got his Christian background from Mid-Pacific.
Well, you had to go to class every morning. Yeah. Back in your day, back in those days, I had to go once a week, I think.
It was founded by a missionary.
Right, missionary. So, yeah.
That's where he got his strong Christian background.
Oh,
and
good.
He went there. And from there, he went on to the University of Hawaii, got his degree there. And I'm not sure. I forgot what it was in sociology. I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
And then he got married to my mother, and he became... went to the YMCA in Waipahu and took care of the youth program there for a while. Then my mother and father decided, I don't have any documents on. They left Hawaii and they went to Los Angeles. My father attended the University of Southern Cal, and he got his master's degree in theology. And after he got that degree, then he returned back to Hawaii, where he became the minister at the Hilo Japanese Christian Church. And that was in the late 1920s or 30s at that time. And then he moved to Lihue Christian Church, which, like I mentioned, I was born in Lihue. So it was, and as the war started, as I mentioned, he was picked up and left. So that's his kind of brief background and history of his life, which did a lot of research and to find out. A lot of the research went into his internment, and I have a lot of documents on that and information about, from my understanding, why he was picked up. My father never knew why he went and was interned by the government. He wrote to the government and asked him, why am I here? I think you folks made a mistake. What did I do wrong? But the government never answered any of those letters he wrote. And so he didn't know what the reasons he was picked up. But the reason was that before the war started, Japan and the United States were not the best.
Right.
And he was born in Japan. He couldn't become a United States citizen until the early 1950s under the McCarran Act. Anybody born in Japan couldn't be a United States citizen at that time. So he was a Japanese citizen. He was well-educated. On Kauai, he was a very well-liked minister there, not only the church members, but the community. Various prominent people even wrote to the government when he was interned and saying that let him go. They didn't see anything why he was being picked up. But the government never returned any of those letters either. The other reason he was picked up was that he used to write to the Japanese consulate. Why was he writing to Japanese right before the war?
Well, there had been a few movies written about people that were interned, and that was, for my take, was the reason why they were picked up.
Yeah. The reason he was writing it, the Japanese consulate at that point in time, before it was, Hawaii had 30% of the population Japanese on all the islands.
Yes.
Now, Japan, they maintain a very good history of family, and their documents, everything,
right.
Family. So people born in Japan, especially in Japan, that came here, that either got married, they had children, or they passed away, or whatever, you had to write to the Japanese consulate to let them know. Now, my father, when he was in Lihue Christian Church, there was a person, a Japanese principal, Japanese language school principal, who passed away. He fell off the roof of his building, raising an American flag, and somehow he slipped and fell. But the people in Lihue needed somebody to now take over. So the church people that he reported to and the people in the community asked my father to take over that responsibility, and he accepted because he felt he's trying to help the people there. So he decided to write to the Japanese consulate, and I said, when I found that out, I said, boy, that put a red flag on the government.
Any kind of community, if your book had any addresses or communications, information to Japan, you're automatically arrested.
Yeah. So that put him on the list. He was well-educated, well-liked in Japan. And the reason, too, why they were taking the people, the Japanese men that were picked up when the war started. There was a reason for the government to do that. Like on the mainland, but here in Hawaii, one of the biggest reasons was that they were afraid that if the Japanese military landed Japanese forces on the islands, they were afraid that these Japanese men that were well-educated or or these Japanese consulate they had, they would fight these Japanese, and the people would turn against the government. That was the fear they had. So when the war broke out on December 7th, they started to round up all the Buddhist priests, you know, all the Japanese language, you know, principals or people that ran it. They picked up all the business people who had influence of the Japanese community, editors, people that had any influence over the Japanese people living here in Hawaii. And they all were picked up. Decided to get picked up from December 7th. Like my father, he was picked up on December 7th. Right. I have the warrant of arrest that was typed on December 7th. And he was picked up sometime in the afternoon or evening. He doesn't have the time, but it shows that he was picked up at that time. So you can see the government was already, before the war even started, they knew who they were going to pick up once the war started.
Well, I think they had rumblings of and heard, and actually, didn't they see the ships coming? I believe from far away.
I don't know if they saw. I didn't hear any records of that. But it seems like the government knew Japan was going to do something because, from my understanding, they had spies in Japan that saw all
the maps of the Pacific.
Not so much a map. All their ships and all the aircraft carriers, everything leaving port.
Yeah,
but they didn't know where they were going.
Yeah,
you know, they couldn't know where, but they knew they left, and they kind of felt it was going. Something was going to happen, somewhere. Either you know, Japan was going to do something. So the government kind of knew that, but I don't think they knew the exact day and time that when it was going. Mm-hmm. But they knew it was going to happen. That's why on the West Coast too, they were already starting to do things. They started to set up military along the shorelines and things. You know. Because they were afraid Japan may attack the United States mainland, but they came to Hawaii to start off, you know, the December 7th bombing, you know.
There's actually a couple local movie people that are starting research on doing another movie about the internment. I've been to a couple recently. We were writing the 442nd, how they started. A lot of good movement. But anyway, guys, if you just tuned in, we're here with Norman Osumi talking about the life of his father, Reverend Paul Osumi, who wrote in the newspaper for many, many years, Today's Thought. And we'll cover, Norman has a book, his own book, about these stories and some of the writings from his father. But and we'll give you more information about the book later on. How many years did he write for the paper?
He started in the late 1950s. With the Honolulu Advertisers. Interesting how it got all started. And I had to research that. And it was through the Toastmasters. They had a get together. And in an article they wrote, my father stated too, in that article that Toastmasters wrote, that my father mentioned there were, I think, 8 religious groups were asked by the Honolulu Advertisers if they wanted to write articles for the paper. And my father's comment in there was that 7 of those other religious denominations, they wrote about their religion. They were writing about their theology. And my father said he didn't do that. What he wrote, he didn't try to push the Christian religion. What he was doing is writing how people should live their lives. That was it. He wasn't trying to sell the Bible. He wasn't quoting scriptures from the Bible. He wasn't doing anything to that. He was just trying to give people how they should live a meaningful life and happy life. And through his articles, because they were non-theological or religious, people picked it up. And in Hawaii, whoever bought the Honolulu Advertiser, like Percy mentioned, he was cunning. And I've done many speaking engagements, and people would come up and tell me that. They would say they would cut those articles. Some of my speaking engagements, people came up, and elderly people, and they'd take their wallets out and they will
still keep it.
They still have the original till they saw.
Yeah, because it was like about 2 inches by 3 inches.
Yeah,
you know, it was like this. Really small, and it had one simple thought.
Yes,
and it was every day.
Yes,
and so in fact, I remember now keeping. I would keep them. I still would cut them out, probably up into my 30s. I'm 63 today. And you're right. It doesn't talk about religion. Doesn't try to push it on you. It just today's taught. And really, when I look back and think about, and I read of some of these. Today's thought is that it's really how to live pono, how to live to be the best person you can be,
yes.
How to live the best day. And that's what's so interesting. And it's audience for everybody's an audience. Anybody's an audience. You know, whether you live a happy life, you could be happier or different ways to be happy, or people that are down on their luck or maybe have a depressed or have a negative thought in their mind or in their life. Today's thought is just perfect. And did they ever tell, so the average, you was in a paper for about 35 years. Did they ever do any newer renditions or would want to do it again? Because I think, you know, an advertiser today, I would guesstimate 60 to 70% of people that read the hard copy print are over 50, 60 years old, and they would remember it. Yeah? I tell you, but guys, so today's thought, the book by Norman Osumi, we'll give the information a little bit later on, but he was still a reverend up until when he got older, right? He was a reverend.
Yeah, he retired from the Wano Congregational Church, and when he retired from the English church as a senior pastor, he then started the Ichikobu group, which is for the elderly Japanese Christians, and he conducted for the Japanese older people as a minister there for a few years too, beyond his early retirement. He stuck on there. But he did finally retire. And
for New Orleans Congregational.
Congregational Church, Protestant Congregational Church. And it's really sad because as he really took care of his health. And he would tell me as a father, you have to ask me, what is the most important thing people have? And, you know, in my speaking engagements, I ask that to, you know, the people attending, and everybody stopped. And my father would say, it's your health. It's your health. Everything else in the world does not have any meaning or value if you don't have good health. He says, you'll be surprised that even rich or famous people, they'll give up everything if they had good health. Then to have, and people don't realize that without health, money and fame loses its meaning after a while. It doesn't have any meaning. You know, it's your health. So he puts it, people should look and take care of your health. And that's very important. He I used to go up to his house when I had already married and I lived, and I used to go up there and have breakfast, and boy, he used to take pills and he used to eat properly. He didn't smoke. He didn't drink. He ate only certain fruits, vegetables. You know, he really tried to exercise. He really believed in health, taking care of your health. And I could see that.
And how long did he live till? How long did he live till?
He lived to 90, age of 90. I have to laugh all the time because he used to tell my mother, I want to live to 100. And my mother would say, I don't want to live that old. That's too old. You know, but he would say, I want to live 100 years old. Sorry, but he didn't get that 100. He got 90. My mother lived to 92.
Wow.
She lasted a little longer than he did. But he always felt, you know, because he took care of his health so much. But what took over his health was he had strokes. One stroke after another. And finally, the stroke just took over, and he passed away from all the strokes he had.
Well, the famous Steve Jobs, who started Apple, he had had cancer bouts, and he passed away rather early. And by the way, the Steve Jobs movie just came out on Netflix. And there was a famous, you know, when he was going through cancer and everything, chemo and everything, you know, he did a famous speech near the end, and he said, I have all the money in the world I need, but it can't buy me health.
Yeah.
And there's no technology or medicine that can make me healthier.
Yeah.
And so I always thought that I've been trying to, since I've been doing a magazine 13 years, and I made my health a very much a high priority. It's really more about quality of life, but health is really important. So when I see friends, in fact, I just told my friend yesterday, you know, your father is 74, but he's had some health issues recently. He's got to stop working and slow down, because it's true. I've had several friends of mine got cancer, strokes, because they work too much, yeah. You know. But anyway, like I said, we're here with Norman Osumi, the son of Reverend Paul Osumi, who was in the newspaper for many, many years, 35 years plus, regarding today's thought. We'll be right back, and we'll take a short break.
Call Financial Benefits Insurance's local Hawaii agents for your Medicare needs. Navigating Medicare is a difficult task.
There are a lot of variables. You can't make a decision without knowing your medical and financial needs. Plus, working with a local Hawaii representative, you'll know what Hawaii programs are available for you.
It is free to talk with us and use a local Hawaii agent. Financial Benefits Insurance. Medicare is our business. Service sets us apart.
Percy Ihara. Many of you know him as the publisher of Generations Magazine and one of Hawaii's biggest senior advocates. For those of you that don't know, he's been in the mortgage business since 1988 and at the age of 42 got into the reverse mortgage business. He learned early on as a reverse mortgage professional that he needed to understand his clients' needs as they aged. He is now 63 years of age, and if you're like him, he is planning his own life down the road when he will retire and how will his quality of life be. He is planning his finances, and as a professional that is also aging, he is planning for his own long-term care needs and to age in place. As a trained, certified senior advisor and as a specialist in long-term care planning, he specializes in assisting seniors and their families to age in place for the rest of their lives. If you would like to begin the conversation, give him a call and let's sit down and start planning. He's Percy Ihara. Call him at 808-234-3117, NMLS 582-944.
Welcome back to Generations Radio, and thank you for tuning in today. It is Sunday morning, and no, I'm not in the studio this morning. I'm probably playing golf, but thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling your friends, your neighbors, people from church, your golf buddies, your classmates, and go to generations808.com to listen to all our past shows. This show will be up within about a week on our website, generations808.com, where we have all our past issues, if you're looking for a past issue, by the way, and you can print it out from the internet, and all our past radio shows. And we actually did two seasons on OC16 on the website as well. So this is the end of July. The new July issue came out. And I knew about what was going to happen with the City and County Parks and Recs probably about January, February. So we planned this cover story to come out now, because pickleball is the fastest growing sport in the country. And City and County has dedicated and refurbished, renovated some of the tennis courts to convert into pickleball courts, because I think there are more pickleball players than tennis players, even though I love both sports. But it takes up less space. You play it faster. It's a great social sport. Anybody can play it. It's much, much easier than tennis. Thanks to the City County Parks and Recs. So the cover story is about pickleball. For those of you that may have not played it before, I highly recommend try it out. It's much easier, less running around, doesn't require as much skill, and I think you're going to enjoy the game. First time I played for 2.5, almost 3 hours with my niece. I loved it. Unfortunately, I came back, and because you're not used to bending down so much because it's a shorter paddle, my back got really sore. So, but I'm not to scare you off, but yeah, just go at a slower pace. I'm kind of like either all or in when I play sports. But anyway, don't forget, August 12th is our 15th annual Aging in Place workshop at the Ala Moana Hotel. No reservations are required, by the way. It's 8 to 2:15, and there are 6 rooms going on at one time, with a 7th room of over 50 exhibitors. Come early, stay late, bring a friend, bring friends, because you can't watch 6 rooms at one time. Every room will have an expert speaker talking about different issues on aging with regard to brain health, Alzheimer's, Medicare, Social Security, Alzheimer's and depression, caregiving issues, decluttering tips. I'll be talking about the reverse mortgage and the new things and old things and things to do right about the reverse mortgage, financial planning, legal issues. We'll have one room, the Elima room, which will be a healthy aging room, which is very popular, guys, because everybody wants to live longer and you stay healthier. We have controlling inflammation, the key to health longevity with David Watermill and Xanthosin. Xanthosin did the recent clinical trial. They sent it over to the National Institute on Health, NIH, and they got raving reviews. And now you will see commercials and ads with the Chad Owens football player, who takes it regularly like I do, because I'm pretty active. But it's the best for inflammation. And as you know, inflammation does cause a lot of your chronic diseases. A Tai Chi for seniors and fall prevention with Clint Evans. He's a Tai Chi trainer out at Kaimuki YMCA. And Anthony Crisco, take care of your fascia, and it will take care of you. So your fascia, guys, if you don't know what your fascia is, Google it. But this is one of the things I do every week, several times a week, to improve my hydration, improve my muscles so I have circulation. And then we're going to also have estate planning with Scott Mukuakani. Tips for families and squabbles. People are arguing about their parents or their brothers and sisters. And really about long-term care and how to continue and find the best care possibly out there. So August 12th, write it down. You can park with validation at the hotel. And no reservations required, guys. If you want any information about the specific topics, give me a call, 808-234-3117. This is also on our website. And thanks to our major sponsors, AARP Hawaii, who's bringing a national speaker on brain health, Financial Benefits Insurance, the largest Medicare broker, and also Your Medicare Buddy by Martha Klopin, who actually also does a radio show, guys. So check out the magazine. A lot of great articles, great stories. And don't forget, we do have our monthly Realities of Aging workshop. So that's the third Wednesday typically of the month. So anyway, we're here with Norman Osumi, whose father, Reverend Paul Osumi, wrote the book, wrote the regular daily Today's Thought in Advertiser. And Norman, you wrote the book. Now tell us about your book that you put together, compiled all his information?
The book that I wrote, it's really a dedication to my father. One of the primary reasons I wrote it, people approached me and used to ask me about my father. People knew him as Reverend Paul Osumi, who wrote the articles for Today's Thoughts. But nobody knew his life history, story.
I did not know either. I knew he was a MITBAG grad. You know,
and that created curiosity. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, fathers didn't talk too much about their life.
Yes.
But I was curious because when I started to get back into history, I donated a lot of his memoirs and things to the Japanese Culture Center. They have it in their resource center today. At the time, when I did provide the Japanese Culture Center with it, I was asked if I would, you know, help put it into their resource center, which I volunteered my time. And when I did that, taking his file folders and starting to read through it, I started to learn things that my father never talked about.
I know, they don't do
and
that.
The more I read, the more interesting it got. And it created more interest in me to know about my father. And that's where it started. And going through the internment, everything I mentioned, that really, I learned a lot from, you know, who my father was. So that created the first incentive to write it, because at the Japanese Culture Center, I was encouraged by people there in the Resource Center to, why don't I write it, Norman? Because I started to talk to them about it and said, that's good, you know, why don't you write? So I did that. And in there also, I did inspirational messages, which is he gave, it's not really sermons, but it's kind of inspirational messages. And then I added about 300 of his Today's Thoughts in the back of the book. So it was a composite of three things in there. But the primary reason was to let people know who was Reverend Paul Osumi, who was the man behind it that wrote it. Because so many people kept his articles, but they didn't really know who was the man behind it.
And he was a reverend.
Yes.
Like myself, I know he went MNPAC. I kind of figured when you're telling the story about his father going back to Japan, because, you know, back in those days, there was a reason why you dormed at MNPAC. It was because, you're right, it started by missionaries. But I was the alumni president back in the mid-90s. I know they celebrated 110 years with a big gala event back in the, I believe it was the early 2000s or early 90s. So I've been very involved in the school. And when I knew about your father, and I just clicked. If you guys see the book or go online and Google him, you see a small little, or maybe 1 inch, maybe 2 inches, maybe a little bit bigger, maybe 2 inches by 4 inches, and with your father's picture on there, and it just says today's thought. And it automatically triggers great memories of those days. And, you know, so I want to ask you, Norman, could you, I'm sure you have some favorite today's thoughts. Could you read a few?
Yeah, I don't mind reading some of them.
I don't have my glasses either, by the way.
Before you even get into reading some of them, in one of my speaking engagements with one of the senior clubs I was at, a woman asked me, Mr. Osumi, did you used to read your father's articles while I was growing up?
Good question.
And I had, it kind of shocked me, like, oh, wow, somebody's asking, did I ever read his article? And I sat there and I had to think real quickly. And I said, no, I didn't. And when they heard that, they went, wow, the own son doesn't read his article. And then I had to give an answer. And I said, well, I used to hear him at home every day, so I didn't think I needed to read what he was writing in the paper.
Every day, you know? Right?
So it was kind of funny. But what I did find out after he passed away and I decided to work on this book that I authored, I decided to really look into his today's thoughts. And then I started to realize why he was so admired by, you know, people who read his today's thoughts and cut those articles out and kept it, because it had a real deep meaning on how people should live their lives. And it really started to sink into me. All the years I didn't read his articles, it started to realize that, you know, what he was saying had a lot of meaning to people's lives. Not every article is going to apply to a person, but there are people with certain problems. They may come across an article that really had a strong meaning to them and really helped them out during a troubled time. And after I wrote my book, I did have letters coming to me that mentioned to me that they bought my book and they said, you know, they kept certain articles and they mentioned that what he wrote really helped them in their lives. And I started to realize that he really did have a lot of impact to a lot of people that were reading it. So that's the reason I started to really get involved and try to bring back the today's thoughts even into my book too, because that had such a strong meaning to what my father was trying to accomplish, you know, in his life, helping people. That was really his, he made a comment. He said he had the largest congregation in Hawaii.
Really?
And the reason he said, anybody who was reading the Honolulu Advertiser was part of his congregation, because they were reading it and they're, you know.
Sure.
And he said, he made a comment about that one time. And I said, yeah, I guess so. Anybody who was reading the Honolulu Advertiser and were looking at it and cutting it out and, you know, going by it, he considered that was part of his congregation.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Absolutely. But back in the day, people read the newspaper.
Yes.
Not like today where the younger kids are too busy with everything else and they go online maybe every day.
Yeah.
You know, well, like Generations Magazine, we had 35,000 followers. That's how many we print every other month.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we run out of every issue. But so, you know, I'm just looking at your book, Norman, and I'm just looking at some of the excerpts you put in here, today's thoughts.
Uh-huh.
He was very well read.
Oh,
he quoted Shakespeare and everybody.
Let me cover that, Percy. When my father passed away, and I have an older brother, And we decided, you know, what to do with all the things he had. My father had a library of books in his, you would say, in his office or his place at our home, as well as in the church. He had books. He had books, books, books. Hundreds of books. He used to read. He said he loved to read. But it wasn't just books, too. He was reading magazines. He was reading all types of things.
That sounds like me. I read a lot, all variety of topics to get more well-rounded.
Yeah, that's where a lot of his thoughts came from. Because he's quoting things,
yes,
science or people or history or things. You know,
yeah.
It's coming from what he read. But he didn't just get these from books, though. He got it from life situations. Mm-hmm. He met people and they said something to him about, you know, their trouble in life and what they're doing. And he quoted people, life situations. He quoted movies. He quoted plays. He quoted, I mean, and other things that he picked up real quickly was things that were current in the day, you know, in that current thing. And he tried to turn around and give some kind of meaning to, you know, what was happening that day. So he was getting it from all of it, because you got to figure out that for about 35 years, 5 days, six days a week, that was in the thousands.
I'll calculate that. Go ahead.
And so in the thousands, you got to figure out, you know, how was he doing this? Now, when I'm going through some of the Thule's thought, he may have covered the subject in one day, and he covered it again, but he restated it a little differently. So some of the messages may be the same message, but how he presented it was written a little differently, so that maybe they missed it the first time. They now understood it maybe the way he wrote it the second time or the third time. Some of those, I think he wrote it in multiple
times. So it comes out to almost 11,000 different excerpts he did in the paper, 35 years times six times a week.
I don't know how he did it, Percy.
I have no idea either.
6 days a week.
But he didn't talk only about religion, or actually he didn't talk about religion. I mean, a few excerpts about it, but in God, but it's all over the place. I mean, topics such as, I'm just going through this book. You have over 200 excerpts in here?
These are 300 in my book.
300. The Way to Love, A Barrel of Gold, Never Say Die, Be Yourself, Frustration, Blue Days, Only One Problem. These are the titles of these little excerpts. And most of them are maybe what, 60, 70 words. That's it.
Yes. Somebody told me he had an art of taking a message and putting it down into two or three sentences and get the thought communicated. He said, not everybody can do that. Somebody told me that. He said he had an art of taking a message and being able to write it in just two or three sentences to communicate that thought across.
And that's really, you know, when I got married 20-something years ago, my wife and I wanted, you know, we both grew up going into church as we were kids, and we didn't go for many years, but we wanted to go back to a church. We actually went visited four different churches where I live in town. And a church we found was Honolulu Christian. We're coming down University Avenue, going to Manoa, instead of taking right to Midpack, we went left around the corner. It right behind the UH president's house, Honolulu Christian. And a pastor there at the time, Pastor Russell Higa, he just stunned us by his sermons and telling his story and make it relatable to common sense, into local style, which was his thing. But that's so true.
Yeah.
Being able to create a message. But he did it within 50 words, and it was so impactful. I'm gonna read more of these later on. But can you give us a little bit of your favorite ones?
Okay, I know do you have favorite ones. I have, Percy. You know, I have quite a few. I haven't gone through all of them. It's gonna take me years to go through,
right, even
going back and reading all of them. But I do select things along the way, and I collect those because it kind of takes to the lot of time to the people I'm talking to. And one of them is age wisdom. I'm going to read it. No man is too old to do his work. Life comes to its ripening in the 50s. A man should be able to do his best work by then. At 60, a man has made enough mistakes to make him wise. He should live better and do better work than ever before. And some of the best works in the world is done in the 70s and 80s.
Wow. Well, Colonel Sanders started Kentucky Fried Chicken, I believe, in his 70s, if not 80s.
Yeah.
You know that? He wasn't a colonel, by the way.
But in his thoughts here, it was that. And I bring it up because he said, when I talk to the older generation, it's like pat yourself in the back and honor yourself because you've gone through life. You've gone through all the struggles. You've gone through the ups and downs and everything. And you've learned and you have matured. You're educated. That's his thinking. He said the younger generation has not yet gone through that. They have not known all the difficulties and things that the older people have gone through.
So he says experience.
Hey, it's experience. And he's saying, and when I talk to the older, honor yourself because you folks have gone through life and you understand life much more than the younger generation.
My son's going off to college next month. And he was telling him, I said, son, I'm just kind of giving you things to how to make decisions. You're going to learn on your own. So you can learn from me. I'll give you things that you should, how to make decisions, or you can learn on your own, but make mistakes because mistakes are all experience.
Yes.
And hopefully I'm giving you information now how to make a good decision, but if you want to learn on your own, fall down, make mistakes, that's up to you. But because you're right. I think back now as being 63 when I was younger, all the mistakes I made. So I'm just trying to pass on things that I went through so my son doesn't have to go through that.
Yes.
Yes. But it's so inspirational in a way that you just read it. It's like, God, it just resonates inside your mind and your heart about, this is something maybe I should do. Yeah. Okay, give us another couple more.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to go through the book. Look for one of mine.
Well, this is one he covers in many different articles written differently. It's called For One Day. We can do anything for one day. Let us forget yesterday with its mistakes and failures. Let us not waste our time thinking of tomorrow's burden. For one day, let us be kind, be cheerful, find no faults, and live our best today.
That, what do you get out of it? What makes
Well, the thing is that people dwell on mistakes they have done in the past, mm-hmm. and it brings them down. He says, forget it. Don't look back towards your mistakes. That's water under the bridge already. It's gone. You can't do anything about it. Yeah. Let it go. Don't look to the future and worry of what's going to happen in the future. Nobody knows what's going to happen in the future. Don't put that. You can plan things, but don't make it a problem of worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow because you don't know what's going to happen. That's not there. Right. You don't know. Right. So to live a happy life to enjoy your life, look at today. Today is your life. Do the best you can today. Don't worry about the past. Don't worry about the future. Don't let those things interfere. Live the best today. Live your life today.
So true, because when I do speaking engagements with seniors and most of them they're older than me, don't live with regret.
Yeah.
If you have relationship that soured, try and forgive them, or you forgive. Hopefully, they forgive you. We don't know what's going to happen 5, 10 years. Only He above us knows how long we're going to be around on this earth, right?
Yes.
So I just tell people, do it today. Don't forget. Call people. See people. When I see a friend of mine, we have mutual friends. I just pick up the phone, and call them. Mm-hmm. Wherever I am. I was in Vegas one time. I was at the restaurant bar waiting for somebody, and I just met a local guy down at California Hotel, and we started talking stories. He found out, he went Kaiser. He goes, my good friend, I played ball with from Kaiser. I think he's your classmate. He goes, I haven't seen the guy in a long time. I picked up the phone right there and called him up. He hasn't seen the guy in 30 years. So anyway, one of my favorites, I'm just reading a book here. Okay. One of the things that I tell my son, I think that's the reason why this is so popular. Nike came out with a great slogan, just do it. It came out, I believe, in the early 90s. I was training a bunch of loan officers, and, I tell them, you just got to read, study, and just do it. Just get down there. So anyway, your father's one is called Do It Now. And guys, I'm going to have a hard time because I don't have my glasses. And my arms aren't that long, so I can kind of see it, but I can't. Okay, if you intend to speak a kind word, speak it now. If you intend to do a kind deed, do it now. If you intend to write a letter to a friend, do it now. If you intend to send flowers to a loved one, send them today. Tomorrow may be too late. You may not be here tomorrow. Your friend or loved one may not be here tomorrow. So just do it. And that's one of the things I try to do and live my life, because today life's too short. Unfortunately, I have two personal friends of mine my age passed away in the last month from cancer. And they're my age. And I was rather shocked. It hit home very hard. In fact, I just texted the wife this morning saying, can you come and meet us tonight for a couple cocktails? And unfortunately, her dog has got neutered, so she's got to stay home. But yeah, we live this life on earth only one time.
Yes.
My father always told me, you want to leave this earth better than when you came here.
Yes.
Whether it's the earth, your association, your community. That's one of the things when I started Generations Magazine, I took it over from Kini Popo, by the way, and we have a tribute to him in the magazine, this July issue, but really about how can we move the needle a little bit more. And I'm very proud of what our staff does, what our writer has done, our photographers have done, our partners have done to really make it, put a dent and put a mark on our community with regard to aging. So normally it's just fantastic. And I'm not sure. Now, we talked before the radio show. Are you going to be doing presentations? In the past, you did many presentations around town.
I did many presentations. Primarily, I did it to most of the retirement centers here. I don't know if I covered all of them, but I did quite a few of them.
But you did schools too, right? I know you did MidPack.
Oh, I did. Well, besides the retirement facilities, I did it to senior clubs, parks and recreation clubs. I did it for churches. I did it to Lions Club, Rotary Club, Kiwanis Club.
But are you going to be doing any more going forward if somebody hears a radio show and say, hey, can I contact him?
I don't know. I'm getting to an age right now, Percy.
Okay, guys, if you want a presentation, give me a call, 808-234-3117, and I'll see his schedule, because I know you said you're very busy, right?
I'm busy.
Can I have, we got unfortunately end, but can I have your last thought for today? Any special thought of your own or your dad's?
I look at it. I look at my life, and I think although I had my ups and downs, my wife and I went through a lot of not marriage problems, but we almost lost our son, when he was young, and that really impacted me and my wife. When you have a young son and you may lose him, and he got into an accident, we almost lost him. And I look back now, and through all the things that we went through, my wife and I kind of look at it and it says, I feel grateful that he's fine today. And I think with all the things we both went through, I really felt I lived a good life. I know I did things that maybe I shouldn't have done.
Everybody did.
But everybody does that. But I think overall, and I'm happy,
Good.
At this point in life, I think, and that's what everybody should do.
Yeah, a lot more years, Norman.
No.
Do more great things around town.
No.
You really do.
Oh, no.
Anyway, we got to have you back on. I'd love to have more conversations. Guys, how did he find the book, by the way?
Huh?
Where can he find the book?
It's at Logos Bookstore.
Logos Bookstore. The Christian based church. Yeah.
Yeah. He's at Ward Center.
Yeah. My sister is actually one of the co-founders of that. Was one of the original 30 or 40 people that invested to start that book. So, Logos Bookstore, guys. It's called Today's Thought with Reverend Paul Osumi, written by Mr. Norman Osumi. Norman, thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Great time. Thank you.
Guys, go buy the book, guys, over there. And as always, I always say aloha. And live well, Roman.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys. Have a great weekend, everyone. Aloha.
Call Financial Benefits Insurance's local Hawaii agents for your Medicare needs. Navigating Medicare is a difficult task.
There are a lot of variables. You can't make a decision without knowing your medical and financial needs. Plus, working with a local Hawaii representative, you'll know what Hawaii programs are available for you.
It's free to talk with us and use a local Hawaii agent. Financial Benefits Insurance. Medicare is our business. Service sets us apart.
Percy Ihara. Many of you know him as the publisher of Generations Magazine and one of Hawaii's biggest senior advocates. For those of you that don't know, he's been in the mortgage business since 1988 and at the age of 42 got into the reverse mortgage business. He learned early on as a reverse mortgage professional that he needed to understand his clients' needs as they aged. He is now 63 years of age, and if you're like him, he is planning his own life down the road when he will retire and how will his quality of life be. He is planning his finances, and as a professional that is also aging, he is planning for his own long-term care needs and to age in place. As a trained certified senior advisor and as a specialist in long-term care planning, he specializes in assisting seniors and their families to age in place for the rest of their lives. If you would like to begin the conversation, give him a call and let's sit down and start planning. He's Percy Ihara. Call him at 808-234-3117. NMLS 582-944.